Hello there. Are you ready to hear tales of the paranormal, weird, unexplained, and just plain creepy? If the answer is yes, then welcome to your worst nightmare. But be warned, there's no turning back. Now here are Todd, Sean, and Nate, and they are middle-aged and creeped out.
Hey, creepies. Welcome to episode 178. Nate is your tech engineer. We are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged and creeped out. How's it going, Nate?
Going good. How's it going in your neighborhood?
In my neighborhood, like Mr. Rogers?
Yeah.
It's going pretty well.
Awesome.
I won't sing, and that'll take it down a notch or two or 12. We have somebody in the studio still, or again.
It's funny right? How this keeps happening.
I love it. Yeah. I'm not complaining.
Neither am I.
We have Pete Peterson again.
I'm glad to be back. Excited.
That's awesome. I loved the two episodes that we had before, and I've gotten a lot of good feedback about, like, loved the fact that both of them had, like, a conspiracy mm-hmm. basis to it. And especially, I actually saw it on our group page, too, but a few people were like, that 1,000 points of light thing was so, like, interesting. And I was like, I know that whole thing is just, you know, wrapped in with the Chateau des Armoroy. I'm going to say it right this time. But it was that and then the Mel's Hole. So yeah. I really enjoyed those conversations. So
did I.
So we got you back. Good.
Awesome. Fantastic.
We do have, so this time you brought little jerseys for the guys.
Yes.
For Todd. So I mean, yes. We have to make sure that Todd understands that.
This
part.
One's wearing a Don Mattingly jersey. Yeah, you do. And this one's wearing a Bucky Dent jersey.
I don't think anybody's going to complain about Don Mattingly though. No. I'm not going to complain about Don. I don't even know if Todd would complain about Don Mattingly, but.
Oh, he probably would.
He might. So you've got a good, steady, solid feud with Todd, mm-hmm. baseball,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. Now he's trying to start one with
Yankees.
Me.
I know. That's what I was going to point out. I'm going to let you guys take over that because I'm just going to sit back and be the spoon. That's what I'm going
to
do.
Well, he walked into my house, Detroit Red Wings, through and through, with a Philadelphia Flyers jersey.
Yes, I did. And there's a reason I did, because it will tie into tonight's topic.
Nice.
Yeah, I know.
You have to acquiesce to this, Nate.
Yes.
Aqualung?
Acquiesce.
Oh.
Aqualung, whatever, you know. Right? What did we talk about earlier? The Queen's English?
Yes.
We all have that down pat. So everybody's having a good week? Yes?
Yeah.
No? Maybe so?
Let's just put it in the, yeah, sure.
It's a week.
Category.
It's a hot week, for sure.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. It was like the heat index is getting up to 100, 105, whatever. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's getting ridiculous. And then we got some rain today, so.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
Yep.
Sorry, I had to interject weather into all this.
That's fine.
I just felt like it was necessary.
That's middle-aged.
That's right. I know, that's exactly.
What,
yeah.
What we talk about.
Going to skip the aches and pains, though. We don't need to do that this time.
What kind of grass seed do you use?
Grass. Oh! That's right, exactly. What's your yard look like right now?
How high do you mow?
Is it? Yeah, oh, what kind of mower do you have?
That's right. that was, oh, man. That's what we're heading for. You know, that. Mm-hmm. That's what, yep. You know, like, oh, did we have a topic? Nah. they're all going to turn into freestyle, like middle-aged topics. That's hilarious. Not so much with the creepy, but. Well, good. I'm glad you guys are here. I am so glad to be here. I have a feeling, just from our pre-topic that we talked about before the recording, that we all need tonight.
We're all fired up.
We are all fired up.
Yes.
I like it, though. So, yeah, we're ready for this. We actually nowadays have a sponsor, so here we go. Are you tired of an itchy, unruly beard? Want a beard that looks great, feels amazing, and smells masculine and sexy? Meet your new best friend, Cultured Creature Beard Balm. Cultured Creature Beard Balm is a game changer. Made with all natural ingredients like mango butter, shea butter, argan, avocado, jojoba, grape seed, and meadowform seed oil. It nourishes your beard and the skin beneath. Say goodbye to dryness and itchiness, and hello to soft, well-groomed, and great-smelling beard. Not only does it tame your mane, but it also leaves a subtle, masculine scent with options like Cuban tobacco, sandalwood and bourbon, cedar and leather, and more. Feel confident all day, whether at the office or on a date or at the gym. It's easy to use. Just rub a small amount between your palm and work it into your beard. Simple and effective, and no mess. Cultured Creature Beard Balm is handmade, organic, and natural, made by a father-daughter duo with over 20 years of beard care experience. It's packed with vitamins and nutrients and zero additives or preservatives. Ready to transform your beard? Visit refineyourwildside.com and use promo code MAKO10, that's MAACO10, for an extra 10% off your first order. Plus, all Cultured Creatured Beard Balm is already 20% off, so that's 30% off your first order. Cultured Creature Beard Balm, where nature meets nurture for the ultimate beard care experience. Don't tame your wild side, refine it with Cultured Creature Beard Balm. What do you think of that?
It's a sponsor.
It is a great sponsor. And now you have, you don't have the product in hand though yet.
Not yet, no.
Not yet, okay.
Still waiting for it.
That's all right. The anticipation is everything, right?
It, yeah. And it did say, you know, it could take up to 3 business days to get it shipped out.
Okay.
And then however long. I'm a cheapskate, so.
You didn't do the overnight.
I did the ground delivery, so. Yeah, it might be here.
The ground and pound.
This year sometime.
That sounds risky. Risque. A little bit inappropriate. I take that back. But I don't want you to put that on the blooper reel. Let's keep that.
Mm-hmm. If you watch MMA, you know what he's talking about.
Exactly. Yes. That also, and I have to, before we go into the next segment, I have to mention something. I might talk about this a couple times during this episode, and I'm not going to apologize. I have to say that one of the things that made this week awesome was that we went on Sunday late evening, or late afternoon anyway, to go see Deadpool and Wolverine,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
And so the boys all went, Harrison mm-hmm. and Dane and Parker, and then we had Pete come along as well. So we all got to hang out, and I don't think we want to give any spoilers away.
No, right? No spoilers.
Nope. Oh, dang it. Are you sure?
Go see it.
Just go see it. It is amazing. Smiling, laughing still now. I mean, we saw it on Sunday and we're still smiling, laughing yep. here.
Unless you don't like superhero movies, then don't
yeah,
go see it.
Todd doesn't need to go see it because he would be, and now he would like some of it, I guarantee you. But all in all, yeah, he doesn't need to go see it. But yes, if you like superheroes, if you like Marvel, if you like Deadpool, if you like Wolverine,
and
it's amazing.
I think they referenced every movie.
Everything.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a lot of nostalgia.
And a series.
It's rated R, so it's very bloody, and it's very there's lots of good cussing and all that good stuff. So it's not family friendly. Do not take the children. I think Harrison and I were even talking about, because Harrison's 16. He goes, William's almost 13. He's like, Dad, he probably needs at least another 3 or 4 years before he sees it. I'm like, I think that's a good idea. But yeah, so lots of blood, but it's funny. It's good. The things that they come up with are just classic.
Mm-hmm.
So it made me smile a lot.
Yeah, definitely pay attention to the rated R.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah, you're going to see a lot of blood, sweat, tears, and humor, and a lot of innuendos. So, it's Deadpool at its best,
mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
truly. So, I loved it.
If you couldn't tell,
I think we all did. But I just wanted to say that, like that really set my week off.
Yeah, for sure.
You're like, yeah,
I want to go see it again.
Absolutely. I think that was kind of like one of my shout outs, by the way. I'm just shouting out to Deadpool and Wolverine.
Yeah. Good job.
I loved that comedy.
Hugh Jackman and Ryan Reynolds
right.
did a fantastic job.
Till you're 90. I'm not going to say anymore. That was one of my favorite parts. All right. Well, Nate, you have the first part of the announcements, so I'll turn it over to you.
All right. Yeah, we have the first announcements. Like always, we get together. It's guy time. It's vent time when the mics are off. Just having a good time hanging out with each other. But
there's no buts. That's only coconut Dallas.
But you gotta take care of yourself.
That's right.
And have a good mental aspects of your daily living. So we like to give out these numbers. Call or text 988 or text home to 741-741 for any type of mental distress, suicide prevention, or any other type of crisis that you or someone you know may be experiencing.
So you're saying go get some help.
Go get some help.
As you need it. Yeah, I agree. I think that's right.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
We all need it at some point. You know, everybody needs somebody sometime, right? And that's a song and everything. That's true. Everything that I've had to tell people to go do, and the, you know, giving advice and help and guidance, I've had to do it too, you know, so yeah.
Oh yeah. We've all walked the walk.
Just knowing that you're not on an island and you don't need to be. So like I said, we always talk about that emotional island. Just don't stay on it. Right. It's so easy though. It's so easy to just, you know, excommunicate yourself from society, your family, your friends, and think I can do this myself. I don't need anybody. I'm fine. You know, until you're not, you know, so.
I mean, there's no wrong way of allowing yourself some alone time
and
doing some inner reflection.
That's right.
But when you get trapped there and see no escape, you might need to start reaching out for some help.
Mm-hmm. That's an island, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah. So I really appreciate you saying that. And so I'm going to go right into shout outs. Now I'm not going to point anybody out. Like I said, I already did my shout out with Deadpool Wolverine. That was more of a happy, fun one. And I did want to shout out, I mentioned to you guys, just so I don't forget this, a guy from my high school that I grew up with, he was a few neighbors down, he passed away suddenly. So he's 44, a year younger than me. His name was RJ Ryan, and he has a young child, a wife, so lots of grieving there. They live in another state now, and, you know, he was a professional and all these kind of things, but he's gone. And so to me, it's like, man, you know, I'm not doing this to make anybody sad or to, you know, woe is me or woe is, you know, anything, but it just shows how important the moment is and how life is fragile and you just never know how much time you have. And obviously my youngest son, William, was saying, well, Dad, that happened, you know, you almost died, you know. It's like, yeah, I had a rough 2023.
Thanks for and bringing that up.
Yeah. He said, and I was like, I know, but it didn't. And it's like, hey, you know, but it is something that, It's good to still have those open communications with your kids and remind them how important it is just to stay present in the moment and grateful. And so anyway, my prayer, thoughts and prayers, of course, I know that seems like such a trite thing to say, but truly like all the goodness to them and their families and friends. And, but I saw a lot of people from high school on Facebook, like, man, I just, you know, that really blows me away. And oh my gosh, you know, and so I know a lot of people are thinking about them out there and, you know, it's just, you know, I know life is, like I said, it comes at you fast. You know, you can change in a heartbeat and you can be gone in a second. But anyway, so I just want to, like I said, put that out there. So I'm going to stop with shout outs because I think they only get worse from here. So Nate, you got any shout outs? Are you blessing anyone with a shout out this week? That's what I should say.
I do not have a shout out. I've been
shout outless.
Yeah. I haven't had a day off in, I don't know, 10, 11 days. And I don't see a day off in the near future. So I haven't had a whole lot of interaction with people.
And you like it that way, right?
So, yeah. No shout outs.
That's all right.
Mm-hmm.
We'll wait till next time then, right? Pete, do you have any shout outs?
I do. Shout out to my wife, Nicole. She's nice. Since I was here last time with you guys, it was went home and I was like, this is awesome. This is super exciting. Sean said it was going to be addictive and it is, and talked her ear off about it. And she just sat there and listened. And she's a creepy too. She listens. So,
nice.
But, we have similar interests in that. And a lot of the weird stuff that gets put in the vault in my head, we'll just start talking about, but then I'll go down these wormholes or rabbit holes watching documentaries on TV or the internet, and I'm telling her about it and she's just like, yeah, she's listening. So I want to just thank her for listening. Aww. You know,
thank you, Nicole. Awesome. Thank you, number one, thank you for the shout out too, but thank you for listening, Nicole. We really appreciate that greatly. And thank you for letting us borrow Pete. That means the world to us. So, and I know Todd would say the same thing. Todd also, by the way, that is probably a shout out we need to say. He would want us to say hello to the creepies because he always tells us, you know, when he's not here, you know, and absent. So shout out to him and all is good, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay. Well, thank you for that. I have the special announcement, so watch out. First of all, we have a Mako meet and greet scheduled for Saturday, August 10th at the Scarlet Lane Brewery in McCordsville, Indiana. We will be there starting at 4 until whenever they kick us out, basically. Isn't that what we decided?
Yep.
The Creeped Out and Haunted Live Show 2024 will be at Greenwood Happy Haunts in Greenwood, Indiana. It will be on Saturday, September 21st and starting at 6 p.m. Arrival time is at 5:15. Our special guest speaker is paranormal investigator and author Austin Lawrence. Tickets are only $10 and they can be pre-purchased or when you arrive the day of show. Options for pre-purchasing are PayPal, which is at TWHedges312. Venmo is at Todd-Hedges-3. Cash App is $TodWilliam12. And also just good old-fashioned cash works as well. And we hope to see you there for a creepy night of fun. So what do we say about these things? Go get you some. Go have some fun.
Have it your way.
Well, have it, wait a minute. I think we're stealing that from somebody else, right?
Be there or be nowhere.
Is that right? Yeah, exactly. We can lift from other restaurants and podcasts and movies like nobody's business. Auto dealers. We talked about that before. Mako. All right. So, yes, that is our special announcements, right? So, Nate, what are we going to talk about tonight?
I have no idea.
What the heck are you talking about?
No, tonight's episode is brought to you by... No, I'm kidding. We are going to talk about the Philadelphia Experiment. And if interested, please check out our source links that we used on this topic.
I like it.
And also, this is Pete's pick.
That's right.
Yeah.
We had, because I think this has been on my mind. I think it's been on Todd's. I think it's been on Nate's. So it's been something. So when you said, hey, that's, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, I think that is definitely one that we've talked about. Love, you know, kind of the mythology behind it and all that kind of stuff. So,
yeah.
And then I know you, that's why you wore your jersey, right? Isn't that what you're alluding to?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, Pete, you have some foundation for us?
I do. Philadelphia Experiment, according to legend, on October 28, 1943, the USS Eldridge, a cannon-class destroyer escort, was conducting top-secret experiments designed to win command of the oceans against the Axis powers. Rumor was the government was creating technology that would render naval ships invisible to enemy radar, and there in the Philadelphia Naval Shipyard, it was time to test it out. Witnesses claimed they saw an eerie blue glow surround the hull of the ship as the generator spun up and then suddenly disappeared. Nothing there. The ship was then seen very shortly after at the Norfolk Navy Yard in Norfolk, Virginia, before disappearing again and reappearing back in Philadelphia. So it's just the reappearance is like super interesting, super creepy. But then it gets into, you know, what happened to the crew. They tell you that there was full crew on the ship and these just absolutely wacko things were happening to them. They were going insane. They were missing time. Some crew members disappeared and other crew members became like part of the ship. Like they were halfway through a wall and they were screaming in pain. It's just this super creepy stuff was happening. And it just kind of spun into, you know, legend that this actually happened and this was the government trying to cover it up and that's why you never heard about it, da, da, da. And then as time went on, of course, witnesses, or actually only one witness, the guy who had said he observed this from another ship in the Philadelphia Navy Yard, is how this all started. It was, I got to find his name.
So did anybody reappear with their head turned backwards on their body like on Spaceballs?
I picture that definitely happened there. The funny thing is that this obviously springs from all of the during World War II that the boats and ships that were being sunk, right?
Yeah.
And so it is funny because they're like, you know, they were getting camouflaged down and cloaking ideas and all these things, but then they're like, okay, let's just make it invisible. Let's use what they say, Einstein's theories, right? Like, yes. Oh yeah, we've got Einstein's, you know, theories perfected. And then, and like you said, Pete, instead of making it just disappear or being invisible, they relocated it somewhere into another. Basically, it's like, okay, now we're dealing with dimensional stuff and travel. Teleportation.
Yes.
Which recently, and I forget when we talked about this, but teleportation, I heard somebody talking about it from at least as we know from physics, quantum physics and all these things. Theoretically, if you teleport something, you are, if it's an inanimate object, excuse me, you're going to take all the molecules, kill them off or reconstruct them, then reconstruct them over here, basically. And it's kind of like recreating it. And if you're dealing with a living, breathing thing. So in that, yeah, we are. It's like we're getting into cloning in a way. If it's a living, breathing thing, same thing. You're killing every little thing in there, and then you're rebuilding it somewhere else. And to me, that begs the question, is like, are you still doing every single level of that person? Because that, and at least as I understand, people are body, mind, spirit. How do you decompose the soul and all those, you know,
or is it a portal way?
I don't know.
You just step through.
Yeah. So I don't know.
Carl M. Allen, I believe, is the name that you're looking for.
And then he started going by pseudonyms, Carlos Miguel Allende. And he had contacted Morris Jessup, who was the author of a book in the case for the UFO, which argued for unidentified flying objects to merit further study. And they had correspondence back and forth, supposedly. And Jessup got like super interested in it because it involved, Sean said, Einstein's theory of unified field theory. But unfortunately, that's where you start to get into one of the parts where it's inconsistent. It's like unified field theory was never proven. Mm-hmm. I mean, unless you believe the conspiracy that, oh, the government proved it and that's how they made the ship disappear. And that's why they were testing all this stuff. So it it goes down a lot of rabbit holes of different things. You know, some things kind of weird, kind of unexplainable, but then other parts of it, you know, you're thinking, well, that's that, there's a way to explain this. And I've always been like, not a doubt. Like a dyed in the wool skeptic, but I want to, if I hear something like this, I want to try and, you know, figure it out first. Mm-hmm. I want to figure, is it really legit? You know, kind of like with Mel's hole, you know, went down there and it's like, well, it could
be. Which we figured out is absolutely true.
Yeah, oh, totally. But it was like, I want to try and find out, you know, was it actually possible or is none of this possible? And it was just one guy's story because he thought he saw something, but he actually had no idea what he saw, and it was something totally different. Mm-hmm. It, like you said, it wasn't the government trying to make ships disappear and teleport. It was trying to make them disappear from radar.
Yeah.
You know, so they couldn't be seen on radar. They could still be seen, from eye to eye, but the radar couldn't see them. So that was the important part. So,
I was going to say something. No, I can't remember.
Well, you said something, so you got your point across. I was going to say whether it's real or not, just on the surface level, if you're thinking about these, now, number one, I can't imagine that they told this crew about any of this. Like, they're probably just hanging out, you know, docked in the bay, you know, like whatever, doing their shipley duties, whatever. And next thing they know, you know, they're in another dock and they're part of the ship. Some of them gone insane. I just the terrifying nature of that, mm-hmm. you know, that's straight out of a horror movie / sci-fi / just terrible. You know, can you imagine that being your grandfather or, you know, grandparent or father or whatever, family member. And then it just, that in itself is infuriating. That's like, oh yeah, let's just use these people as, you know, experimentation mm-hmm. and, you know,
and that
like
was
animals.
That was another part of it. Another claim that was made that was one of the sailors appeared in a bar in Norfolk mm-hmm. and got into a bar fight and then all of a sudden disappeared.
And he's gone.
So it's like not only was he transported from Philadelphia to Virginia, but he was transported off the ship into a bar in the middle of a barroom brawl and then just disappears.
But that's what makes it sound less like it's made up. Like that totally sounds believable. No,
I remember what I was going to say.
Yeah.
I have it all figured out.
Something
mirrors.
More than something.
Yes.
Mirrors, yeah.
Straight up David Copperfield.
Smoke
action.
And mirrors.
Yeah, right.
That's it.
Then they
Episode's
worked.
Over.
After they got the battleship, then they worked on the Statue of Liberty, but that took a few decades, right? It's interesting, though. So they were, quote unquote, successful, and they were like, oh, man, we're onto something. So then they tried it again and had about the same kind of, success, or at least they could do it with the ship, and it's like, you know what? Maybe just do it without anybody on board. That mm-hmm. would probably be a good idea. But then they had the same problem with, you know, people being stuck in between, you know, levels of the ship or being part of it or dying right. or being split in half or whatever. And just horrible, you know, absolutely terrible scene if you can think about it. And then they also said that this wasn't the actual ship that they saw, wasn't the Eldridge. It was actually another ship because mm-hmm. the Eldridge was never in Philadelphia and all these things. But then that begs the question, because everything you say, like if you say, because I listen to so many videos and most of the videos I listen to, pretty much there was maybe a little bit of belief, but for the most part, they felt like it had been pretty well debunked.
Yeah.
But the people that really held on was like, were like, yeah, but if you can say anything like, well, that's not in the records. Well, it can be erased. They did say that the people that were involved, the people that survived, you know, all the, mm-hmm. you know, the shipmates and all the soldiers and crew, the ones that didn't perish or weren't part of the, you know, the ship, they were brainwashed or, you know, reset yeah. basically. Yeah. And so there was a movie made in the mid 80s mm-hmm. in 84. And they said that one of the gentlemen that was on the Eldridge watched this movie and it gave him his old memories back. He's like, oh my gosh, I remember yeah. this. Like, and part of you thinks, oh, sure, right? You know, these are just fake memories or he's just wanting attention or whatever. But he's like, no, like it all came back to me after watching this movie. And again, I don't know how much I believe that, but that's interesting to me, you know, that he was like, I was there. This happened.
He was supposedly he's only the second person to ever witness, the second witness to mm-hmm. either remember it or see it.
Yep. Hmm.
So, and then people also say, well, there's only two people out of all these. You had, like you said, if you had to brainwash and reprogram all these people, I mean, that's a lot of people. I've never worked in a shipyard, but I assume it's a hustle and bustle of people everywhere other than just on the ship. Mm-hmm. It's working in other docks and things like that. You would have to round them up and, you know, brainwash them. I think it's a super cool topic.
Oh, absolutely.
But, and I, all the stuff involved with it, I'm not 100% sure it mm-hmm. happened. Because like you said, of a lot of the debunking, a lot of people say, well, how do you make a ship just appear in Norfolk Navy Yard from Philadelphia, you know, instantaneously? Well, the Alan that says he saw it happen, I said, well, maybe he was mistaken. He saw the ship leave. And at the time, there was the Chesapeake and Delaware Canal mm-hmm. that cuts across, and it keeps, at the time, it was closed to any freight or public traffic. Only the military could use it, so they could keep their ships out of the ocean off the East Coast because they were being preyed on by German U-boats. Mm-hmm. So you could get from Philadelphia to Norfolk with that canal in, I think it was like 2 to 4 hours mm-hmm.
and then yeah, a lot quicker.
And be back, and nobody really knew about it. So is that what he saw? You know, and then a couple of people actually testified about the barroom brawl. They said, well, we did see that guy, and he was just hustled out immediately because he was drunk and he wasn't supposed to be or something like that. And that's why it looked like he disappeared.
Yeah.
He appeared and then he was nowhere to be found. So it's interesting with a lot of the debunking. And that's kind of what I got into after I started reading more and more and more. And I had known that German U-boats had been off the East Coast during the war, and they had actually sunk quite a bit of ships. So
it was like thousands a day, they were saying.
Yeah, it kind of grabbed my attention with that. And yeah, you would want to avoid going out into the ocean, and if you had a way to do it, the government, just the military took control of the canal, and they were safer.
They say there was such a desperation to win at all costs, especially, I mean, and it's true, and during World War II, there was, you know, so much death, you know, between, you know, on land and sea. And if you had some way to get an advantage, you were going to do it. Mm-hmm. And I've heard, you know, they say that the military, I've heard rumors of they're 75 years ahead, and other people say they're thousands of years ahead. So Who knows what's true, what's real. I've heard some people say, oh, of course they can teleport. They've done this with they haven't done it with troops, but they've done it with, you know, arsenal and all these kind of, and equipment and all this kind of stuff. But it is. And then other people say, no, we're not to that technology yet. So you've got all kind of different talking heads. And like you said, this opens up a lot of rabbit holes. But to me, and I, like I said, I try to think, oh, yeah, I think this, you know, would this have really happened? But with everything else, you know, you have all these other conspiracies and you think, oh, yeah, that's not possible. And now I was listening to that today, not just the Philadelphia experiment, but I was listening to this. Several lists of all the conspiracies that have been proven to be correct, or at least partially correct. Mm-hmm. And to me, when I think of it that way, I'm like, who knows anymore?
Yeah.
So I still think there was what they say when the gentleman, Carl, he saw it, he said there was a green mist mm-hmm. around it, which obviously, you know, and some people said, well, that can be a natural phenomenon, what St. Elmo's fire, but that St. Elmo's fire is not a green, you know, mm-hmm. mist or whatever. But it does have, there is such a thing called St. Elmo's fire. It's not just a movie. And so there's all kind of different rationale. And they also said, like, somebody was trying to debunk the whole canal thing because, yeah, that would be quicker, but they said they're still, the claim was it's instantaneous.
Right.
And that it was there for several minutes and then it was gone again.
Yeah, I think it's 10 minutes total.
Yeah. And so, I don't know.
That makes you go back to, is this possible, you know? And like you said, you know, conspiracy theories of technology that the government has that we had no idea. Mm-hmm. And back in the 1940s, I mean, nobody really had any idea of what the government was capable of doing for mm-hmm. the military. I mean, look at all the actual technology that was developed to win the war. Sonar, mm-hmm. radar, and one of the debunking things was they were actually testing magnetic degaussing technology mm-hmm. so the ships wouldn't set off magnetic mines and magnetic torpedoes.
Isn't that crazy?
I mean, they do that, but who knows if that's exclusively what they were doing here and maybe not.
They had to think outside the box. Yeah. Well, somebody pointed out in one of the videos, and they talking about conspiracies, is that with all of these things, to be honest, you know, and there are probably some people out there, but up to a certain point in history, you wouldn't even enter your mind that the president of the United States would lie.
Right.
Until they finally, you know, Nixon saying, I'm not lying. I'm not a liar. I'm not a cheat. And he cheated and he lied and he had to step down. And then all of a sudden it entered people's consciousness like, oh gosh, our politicians could lie to us.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, the world changed. And then it's just been, let's be honest, downhill from here and there. But it goes along with the same conspiracies of, you know, if they're going to keep that. And the other thing, aliens, you know, only till recently, you know, that was like, oh, that's absolutely ridiculous. And now it's like, you know, it's actually not ridiculous. Yeah, we have files. Yeah, we're going to slowly leak them. Yeah, you're not quite ready for this and that and the other. So if that's real, why not teleportation?
Yeah.
And figure that out in World War II.
You know, if you're just starting to try and mess around with teleportation, you might screw it up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And
some really weird
crap might happen that you may have to cover up.
Yeah.
So
the Naval History and Heritage Command website, this is what they have to say. Records in the archives branch of the Naval History and Heritage Command have been repeatedly searched, but no documents have been located which confirm the event or any interest by the Navy in attempting such an achievement.
What the interesting thing is that, and somebody else brought up in one of these, the videos and articles, is that we're still talking about it today.
Yeah.
So it doesn't go away.
No.
So that's the thing is you can say, and that's what kept bringing me back to, like you said, Pete, it's a great thing and fun to talk about because you think, okay, let's just, you know, put aside all the skepticism and think about if this did happen, oh my gosh,
yeah.
You know, on all on several levels. But then you're like, okay, so let's start picking it apart. But that's what they kept coming back to. Like, why won't this die then? Why mm-hmm. can't we just say, but to be fair, like we still, you know, zeroth round, is it flat? I mean, we're still having these disagreements about God knows what. So it's not too surprising that in this day and age, we can't make stuff like this go away. But I still find that interesting that it's not completely been washed out of history to say it didn't happen.
We haven't really found or haven't gotten to a technology that we know of that could do this kind of stuff. So I think that's part of the reason why it keeps coming back. Mm-hmm. You're like, well, we haven't gotten there yet, so maybe it's still believable. Why not keep talking about it?
Yeah.
The government's putting their foot down saying that.
Absolutely.
It did not happen.
We are so honest and truthful. And also, I mean, there's such a possibility of UFO connections here, too. You know, we talk about, like, you know, technologies that are being shared. It's like, hey, guys, you know, we'll give you whatever you want if you just tell us how to do this. You know, and that's how they think that we've made some of the leaps in technology that we have. It's possible. But, yeah, so this, like I said, it just, I'm still going to play devil's advocate of, you know, it'd be so easy to be like, oh, this is ridiculous and, there was one guy, I listened to him, and he said from the upfront, like, I'm going to rip this to shreds, and I don't believe this. But every once in a while, he would say, okay, this is kind of how this is still in the fabric of everything. So it was just still this, like, we can't make this completely, you know, okay, it's a, you know, slam dunk that this didn't happen.
Right.
But like I said, there's a lot of people out there that say that they really, truly don't believe this. But I do. I find it, the whole thing is interesting. And I still go back to, like, if I was part of the crew or that was my family and this happened and you knew, you know, that you basically had been screwed over, basically. Mm-hmm. by the government. And like I said, there are several instances of, I mean, MK Ultra mind control things. CIA has like a list of things that they've, God knows what they've done, and, you know, presidents they've killed and all these things. And that we're just like, oh, I guess that's we're supposed to accept that. No, yeah. No, we shouldn't. You know? So if they're, anytime they're using people as actual in experimentation, and if it was proven to be so, I mean, that's unacceptable.
Well, they did it with atom bomb testing. Atom testing. You know, they didn't know enough about what would happen, the after effects of radiation. Mm-hmm. So they, you know, had a bunch of soldiers in trenches in their uniforms and certain distances away from the first atom bomb mm-hmm. experiment that was at Trinity in the desert. Mm-hmm. And all of them got cancer, you know. Yeah. All of them had horrible, horrible side effects. But like, oh, well, we didn't know. But now, and then after the war, they just kept on doing nuclear testing in Bikini Atoll, you know, all those places out in the ocean. Well, how would it affect a fleet of ships if we set off an atomic bomb right above the water or right under the water? So they line up all these ships out there, and I don't know if they ever put crew on those ships or anything, but there's footage of the tests and everything. They see how much damage it could do. So it's a shame that, you know, people got put through that too.
There also, and this was something I was not aware of this, but I run across all these conspiracies. There was one, I was talking about with radiation experimentation without people knowing. There are the live experimentation, but there's also, they would take dead bodies and without people's family members knowing.
Wow.
And they said a popular, you know, like group that they would pick from were children, young children or babies. And there was one lady who she said that she wanted her baby buried in a christening gown. This is like documented because I was like, is this real? And they were like, this is actually one of the conspiracies that was confirmed. They said, no, we can't let you see your daughter. You know, like, but I want to put her in her christening gown. That's what I want her to be buried in. Nope, it's too late. But they did not want her to see what they'd already started to do with these radiation testings. It's like, That to me is absolutely despicable. And again, can't say that the Philadelphia experiment is correct, but if they're doing things like that with any kind of, like, you have to be zero conscience to say, I'm going to do this, or, hey, I want to see what the effects of LSD are. And I mean, there's some wild things. MK Ultra was part of that, but they also had another program that they, like I said, that gets really, really deep into using LSD and the effects of it with, prostitutes. And they were like, oh, let's see what happens. You know, but the people were not, it's not like they're like, hey, we're going to do this and you're part of an experiment. They just did it.
Right.
They didn't tell the people. And then they made records of what happened. But it's like, hey, we just caught you in something that's really, really not good and not ethical. That's why it's going to be perfect for our experimentation.
Man.
But that's just so wrong on so many levels.
Yeah,
but again,
absolutely.
That goes back to this whole idea of like, a few soldiers, they get hurt, they get killed, you know. It's all for the advancement of science, which I say is BS.
Here's a new little thing that I found about it. During the experiment, the U.S. military claimed that they were able to contact alien entities and establish cooperation. So, I guess that opened a channel.
Yeah, line of communication.
Well, and that's the thing is
phone home.
That if you can say, and if things come out more and more about alien involvement in our history, even as far back as the 40s, 50s, you know, 60s and up through to today and still continuing, then these kind of things are like, I'm sure they did do this kind of stuff, mm-hmm. or they got this kind of technology. I mean, there's conspiracies that, you know, our government made deals with the aliens so that they can feast on a certain amount of our population. To me, that is like completely insane. But again, I used to hear and listen to all this other stuff and you're like, yeah, I would think that was insane too. And it's been shown to be true. So again, I think that's pretty extreme form mm-hmm. of rabbit holism, but it's still, it's like, I mean, if you bring up these little things, and like I said, Philadelphia experiment, some people have never heard of it out there.
Right.
Not one person. Or they're like, well, I've kind of heard of it. I have no idea what that's about. Now that they're finding this out, it's like, oh, I want to know more about it. I want to, you know, and that's what we want people to do.
Yeah.
Go look at these videos. Go read these books. Go watch this movie. The movie, they take the movie and they do more like a, I've not seen the movie. according to this, it's got like three out of, it's either 3 out of 5 stars, or sometimes it's 2 out of 5 stars. So it's not probably like a stellar movie by any means, but they do a lot more like time traveling with some of these soldiers and stuff and the Navy men. So, but that's interesting too. And that's just for story development.
It could take you down so many other roads. I mean, with the government secrets during and after the war, you get into Area 51 with the UFOs and the aliens, and then the Lockheed Skunk Works with developing stealth technology and all that. You know, they were trying to, I guess, on the headwaters of stealth technology, you know, not necessarily making them disappear on radar, but on some of the crazy stuff they tried just to make ships like confuse people. There was, I was reading one thing. It was called dazzle camouflage paint that they would put on ships. Mm-hmm. And it's a bunch of like diagonal and horizontal and vertical lines and different shading to confuse like a submarine that would be chasing them and targeting them, which way it would be traveling or the size of it, depending on how you looked at it. And if you look at some of the pictures, it's pretty freaking amazing. It actually, mm-hmm. I mean, it doesn't make the ship disappear, but if all you need is
disorientation,
a U-boat captain to plug in the wrong firing solution to his torpedo so it misses by a few degrees, mm-hmm. you just save the crew. Even though the ship looks completely ridiculous, it may have worked.
So it looks like Alan, at one time, started sending letters to this Jacques Vallée, claiming that he had firsthand knowledge of the experiments. So he Vallée wrote an article in 1994 in the Journal of Scientific Exploration. Let's see here. Oh, okay. And then there's a book titled The Case for UFOs. That was published by Morris Jessup.
Mm-hmm.
And so Alan was communicating with the Vallée and telling him about all this stuff. And then, just going into all the details of, electrical field manipulations and, all the conspiracies of what was happening there and how the sailors disappeared from the bar and, the illnesses and all this other stuff. And so through all this time, Vallée's article describes Alan as a mysterious figure, an outcast, who others identified as a drifter and general odd person. And while he did not win the mind of Morris Jessup, this is in the 2012 Gizmodo article, Jessup died 4 years later from an apparent suicide.
Mm.
Yeah, they said he was on quite a weird trek with all this. Mm-hmm. There was also you were talking about writing letters. Supposedly there were notes that were from other sources that were made on these notes and all these all the information that was given. And it was like, oh yeah, this is an important fact to point out and all this. And they said this communication, the funny thing is it looked like it was coming from three different sources, but they really think it was just one person. And they were thinking that it was, Alan was, it was all from him, mm-hmm. and it was just it was almost like a mental illness with him, and he was taking it on to other levels and things. And again, maybe he was onto something, because it maybe is somebody that has a point and nobody wants to listen to and just say, oh yeah, he's crazy.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I sort of misread this a little bit.
So
it was Alan sending Jessup letters and stuff. And then, Vallée character, he wrote an article about their correspondence of Alan relaying that he had firsthand experience and knowledge and blah blah blah.
And I think the way that this was all brought together and the communications, it muddied it mm-hmm. the water, because it just made it look, and they say that maybe the way that was handled was part of the trying to misinform and or trying to take like, oh yeah, this is just made up, see, you can discredit it a lot easier.
And then at one point, the Office of Naval Research actually got involved. They think they were sent Jessup's book with all those annotations in it.
Mm-hmm.
and they were, what is this? What is it? And they did their research, and they pretty much determined that it was Alan who, like you had said, Sean, that had put all the annotations in the sun, the margins and everything.
Like having a conversation with each other.
Mm-hmm. Which then you think, okay, they figured it out. It's just but then
they said it seemed like it was almost somebody from not from this planet.
Right. They were
planet, these were, communications were like, that's not a human.
Yeah, and then the Office of Naval Research, that's where it gets weird. You figure if they figured it out, they'll just let it go. Oh, we debunked this. It's just this crazy guy. Well, two ONR officers had 127 copies of the annotated text printed and privately distributed by the military contractor Varro Manufacturing, giving wings to Elaine's story long after Jessup's suicide death. Mm-hmm. It's like, why? Mm-hmm. Why would you do that? Was it just like a joke to them? Like, oh, we're going to print these up just to familiarize people? Like, this is some of the crazy people and conspiracies we deal with. Mm-hmm. You know, you could go down that road, and that's why they printed 100. Or was there some legit concern out of them that...
Well, it's funny how...
It won't go away.
If you start getting close to the truth, suicide becomes an option.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. And that, you know, that's always a little bit tricky, but we found that in a lot of instances, mm-hmm. too. It's like, huh, yeah.
Well, because Alan kept telling Jessup, like, he repeatedly told him, like, I have evidence of the experiment, and he could find witness testimonies and ship logs, but all that information was just always at the fingertips. Nobody could really find it and grasp it and physically have it.
The other thing is that when you listen about the Philadelphia experiment, there inevitably, you start hearing about other things, other conspiracies we've been already talking about. But one of the big ones, and we'll have to talk about this one too at some point, is the, and we've mentioned this on off the air, I don't think on any episodes though, is the Montauk Project, if you guys are familiar with that at all. I will give a brief summary, and like I said, we'll have to talk about it later, but it's a conspiracy theory that alleges that there were a series of United States government projects conducted at Camp Hero, or Montauk Air Force Station in Montauk, New York, for the purpose of developing psychological warfare techniques and exotic research, including time travel. The story of Montauk Project originated in the Montauk Project series of books by Preston Nichols, which intermixes those stories with stories about the Bulgarian experiment. So it goes into all of these different things. They still call it a conspiracy theory. But again, conspiracy theory, the term, came during the Kennedy assassination to make it sound like it was crazy. Mm-hmm. And now we found out, like, it wasn't a conspiracy. There's so many other levels to it, and that, you know, lone gunman, all that stuff is likely a bunch of garbage. And so anyway, but it's like, so if you want to discredit something, you just like, man, it's a conspiracy theory. It's crazy. But it's like, you know what? So more and more of these stories. So if Montauk's out there, Philadelphia experiment, and the people, these things won't go away.
Right.
Is it because people are just, you know, so excited about them, and they just want to kind of just keep digging this stuff up and kicking up the dust? Maybe. But I think there's more to it than that. I truly do. So, so that's why it's like, part of me, like, when you first hear it, it's like, slam dunk, no big deal. This is total ridiculousness. It's a fun conversation, but there's no way it happened. And then there's part of me, when, as we keep talking about it, it's like, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't even know what percentage. Like, if I can't sit here and say, oh, yeah, I absolutely believe it. But I also can't sit here and say, I completely don't believe it.
I lean more towards not believing it, but 50-50, I'm left open to be convinced on certain aspects of it.
I might be as close as 50-50, but it's probably more like 60-40, and like you're saying, towards the not believing it. Maybe 70-30 at times, but like I said, the more when you go back and forth and like, do I trust the government? Do I not?
I think is this enough time, enough time has passed since this incident that it's... If there was teleportation technology, we'd be seeing small amounts of it by now.
Well, the Freedom of Information Act, you would think, but there's still, even with that in play, there's still a lot they keep from us, you know, to be fair. So it's still possible that's being kept under wraps. But that's a good point, is that you would think after all this time, and eventually it will, because there is, like, people have the right to know these things, you know, and they can't be kept secret forever, or they shouldn't be,
right?
You know, because we put money into these things, you know.
And if it's a military project, eventually it whatever it is could be used in battle and conflict, then all of a sudden everybody knows it. So that's kind of, I remember being, you know, in high school when the stealth bomber and the stealth fighter first came out, everybody, they actually announced it. I mean, and then, so, because they knew, well, we're going to be manufacturing this and everybody's going to see it. It's actually going to be, you know, a game changer and all that stuff. But then even later on, you find out they were working on this stuff in like the 60s.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They had, you know, the all the predecessors to the B-2 and the F-117 were all out at Area 51 being tested and being developed at the Skunk Works and all that stuff. And that was, you know, decades before they release it to the public. So that leads people down the conspiracy theory of, well, is there an actual time window that people, that the government uses? Be like, okay, is it 10 years? Is it 15 years that they are ahead in technology?
Mm-hmm. I think it's a matter of, can they, do they have a today utilization purpose for this technology?
Right.
And if they do, obviously the cat's going to be let out of the bag. So now, all right, let's present this to the public.
Mm-hmm.
It always
because
goes down to warfare.
As soon as we use it, it's going to raise question anyhow.
Right, right. And then how do you explain some of this? Like with the stealth technology, I mean, I don't know the exact, no one real knows, only very few people know the exact science behind the materials used and all that stuff and the engineering behind it, and that's the way they want to keep it.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean,
in quick layman's terms, it has something to do with the angles of the panels, and then the paint
right.
is radar absorbing.
Yeah.
To a certain extent.
Like how strong the radar waves rebound back to the radar emitter, so you can see it. Like, what is the signature of this plane or whatever?
But then they also have like chillers on the exhaust too, so it takes away the exhaust signature too.
They bury the engines deep inside there, and it's pretty amazing.
There's a lot of technology in it.
They in the late 1940s, I think it was the end of War of the Worlds, the first movie, the original movie. They tried to nuke the aliens, and that big flying wing that comes in.
Mm-hmm.
That plane was developed in the at the end of World War II, and then it was originally had propeller engines, and then they were like, oh, we're jet technology's taking over. We're going to put jet engines on it, and then it went into I think they made two of them. They crashed or something like that. But in the late 1940s, they did a lot of the radar testing on it, and then when they started getting really interested in stealth in the 60s. Somebody who probably got a promotion, I hope, looked back at the records and said, hey, when we did the radar testing on that flying wing, it had this really small radar signature. Could we redo that? And then all of a sudden you see the B-2 stealth bomber, which is, you know, a flying wing. And it's like, it's no coincidence. Somebody went back and said, hey, wait a minute. With our new technology, our new paint,
we can make it fly.
We can make this thing work.
Mm-hmm.
And they did. So it's pretty amazing stuff.
That's what, I mean, if you really think about it too, and maybe this is a natural speed of development, but, you know, you go from the Wright brothers taking flight just barely, but they did it. And then we just, you know, all of a sudden we've got skyscrapers and we've got airplanes and we've got automobiles and we got all these things, spaceships, and it went by so quick, you know, and a lot of people point out like, hey, we had to have some kind of help, or there was some kind of, you know, secret information that we got, whether it's aliens or past technologies or whatever. But it's like, we went super duper fast in a very short period of time. And again, that just begs the question, like, how much do we know? When do we know it? And where do we get it from? So, and maybe we are, you know, I would love to think that we're just that ingenious and we have just figured it out. But I wish it was more open source, you know, where it was like, hey, this is for the betterment of humanity, and this, we want to as many minds as on this as we can get. But most of the time, what's driving it is people want power, people want money, they want to make more of it, or they want war, which normally begs that, you know, perpetuates the other two: get more power, get more money. And so that's the thing. As sad as if we can ever come into like, how do we put? And I think there are minds out there. You know, Elon Musk, whether you love him or hate him, I think he's out there thinking like that, you know, how do we do these kind of things? You know, yeah, he makes scads of money, but he's to the point where money is just so arbitrary now. Like, it's just truly is about like, how can I leave my mark through history and be a legend, and and also to propel humanity forward? I like to think, you know, I don't know. I mean, people have fooled us before, but I wish there were more people like that, or I wish there were more thinking like that, that, you know, was trying to propel us into a better future instead of constantly right. in this realm of like, we're divided and we're just, you know, this, these people are right, these people are wrong. And there's never any forward momentum of humanity. And we're just in that really stuck period. It feels like, and we'll get there. I mean, there's been dark ages before.
Yep.
But we've got to somehow rise above all that. So we, with this whole conversation, we got there, didn't we? With
yes.
we're rising it up. I do like that whole Saint Elmo's fire thing. Cause when it said that it like glowed green or whatever, there's a green mist when it was teleporting or, you know, when it disappeared. And that some people say, well, that's got to be Saint Elmo's fire. And people were saying that, well, no, that's not the same, you know, it's not the same kind of thing. We've mentioned this before, but Saint Elmo's fire is also called witch fire or witch's fire. It's a weather phenomenon in which luminous plasma is created by a coronal discharge from a rod-like object such as a mast, spire, chimney, or animal horn in an atmospheric electrical field. It's also been observed in the leading edges of airplanes, as in the case of the British Airways flight 009, and by U.S. Air Force pilots. So they were saying this could have been, you know, part of what the ship was going in. But they, like I said, they, as far as witnessing that, it's like, that's not what seemed to be part of that. So, mm-hmm. And that phenomenon is amazing anyway. But,
yeah.
And I love the name of it, but.
You just like the movie.
I do. I got the song stuck in my head now.
Can you, who sang the song? It's quiz time.
Ooh, I don't know that I know that. I'd have to Google it.
Didn't we look that up at one time?
I think we did, but yeah. I can't remember it.
I can't remember.
I'll venture a guess. Ooh. Was it John Parr?
I think so. I think it is John Parr.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't know. Are you looking that up?
There's a rabbit. I am, but I'm pretty sure he's right.
Hmm.
Here we go.
Yeah, I can't remember.
I think that I'm almost 100% about that. Man in Motion. Yeah, it's John Parr.
Oh, awesome.
That's right.
Occasionally, I can remember useless information.
Parr with two R's, right? It's 1985, baby. June 13th is when it was released on my birthday.
Nice.
For my sixth birthday. Wasn't that nice of him?
It's locked in what my wife calls the vault.
She's exactly.
Like, you have a vault in your head that has just all this random information.
Nice job.
Oh, yeah.
So this is awesome with this conversation. Do you guys have anything else on it? Like I said, it is. There's so many different dimensions to it. And rabbit holes. Parallel dimensions, possibly, right? What did we figure out? When did we figure it out? Is it even possible that this happened? Is it being covered up? Is it a complete fabrication? Is it mental disorders of people? All of that's possible, you know. But we've said this before, somewhere in between, you know, the story, you know, one story and the other, you know, the complete absolutely this happened or it absolutely did not, somewhere in between lies the truth. So I think there are aspects of the story may be absolutely correct, but somewhere I wish we had more information. And I guess you got to do some more research on your own and figure out what you believe. And again, I'm not completely sold either way. Like I said, I tend to discredit it. But there's also part of my brain that believes it too, just like you were saying,
Pete. Yeah.
I don't believe any of it.
Nate is like naysayer, naysayer, Nate, right?
No, I everything. There's always a little bit of truth in anything that you're talking about, even if it's highly incorrect. So there has to be some sort of truth in there somewhere.
Mm-hmm. That the government lies. Is that what you're trying to say?
No, oh, everybody knows that's
it's
true.
It's a government experiment, unethically sometimes.
No, yeah.
Whew.
But no, I mean, any incident, any conspiracy, there has to be, I mean, even if it's 0.01%, I mean, there is some aspect of truth somewhere in it.
Yeah, and I'm sure there's experimentation out there that we're not aware of or hasn't come to light yet. So, mm-hmm. But yes, truth stretching, that's what you're trying to allude to as well.
But no, I think this is maybe something going on experimental wise with the military and then a deranged crazy person.
That's the mix you got.
That
you're getting that feel.
And, yeah.
Witnessed something and then he swore he actually saw something else. And Yeah.
That's very, very possible. I know that's where especially when I first started like looking over this, that's where my brain was at. Mm-hmm. But I, like I said,
well, 'cause I mean, I can see the bubbling, and you know, I mean, the green fog could be just because of sunlight reflecting off of something, or you know, just giving it that color, that hue. But like reading through all this stuff and what their claim that they're trying to do with like electromagnetic stuff and that kind of stuff and generators, I can see like maybe the hull of the ship becoming electromagnetically electrified and more or less like boiling or bubbling the water, creating a fog mistiness. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, that's right.
So, I mean, yeah, scientifically, I can sort of see something there. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then a crazy guy going, it's disappearing.
I think it is helpful to really pointing out everything, you know, a little bit of, you know, and you have to have a little bit of creativity, imagination, or leaving your mind open for possibilities. But you also do have to kind of anchor yourself and say, okay, but let's think about this scientifically too. So, but I, like I said, I still don't have a great idea. And let's see how long that it stays in the zeitgeist out there, you know, and our thoughts, right? All right. Well, thank you guys for this discussion. Yeah, it was a good awesome. One. Yeah.
Really good. Lots of fun.
Yeah. What's next? I don't even know. What the script, not script?
It's going to be middle age moment or middle age dark side.
You guys got guests?
I'm going to be wrong, so.
Last time I was wrong. We were both wrong, I think.
You have little faith.
Go off the top, off of anything from the topic we talked about.
Moment.
Dark side.
It's going to be a moment, and you guys are going to love. Yes, you're going to love why, job, though. I've got a good explanation, but I do have to back it up just a second because you know, I had warned you about this before, Pete. And if you listened to our episodes enough, you know that you never know where I'm going to drive the car, the truck, or whatever off the road. but I'm going back to shout outs, which I know is way back. So Todd and I were texting, and I didn't get to see this until later. And so I told him, I said, no problem, I can put this in here. He wants to make sure to shout out.
It's a shout out time's over.
No. You know that. Yep.
Is this when Sean gets kicked off the podcast?
This is when Nate's going to get kicked off. With the cats away, the mice will play, right? But Todd wants to do a shout out to Amy since we are starting the school year. He said he wants a shout out to his wife, Amy, and all the other educators for this upcoming school year. I totally agree. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of the schools did start back. And the administrators, educators, all those things, they've been there for a couple of weeks now, it sounds like. And I know Plainfield schools will start next Wednesday, so our kids are getting mentally prepared for all that.
They're getting mental.
They're getting mental. That's right. Yeah, they're like, they got the twitches and everything. But yeah, they, and God bless them. Thank you for what you guys do out there. We can't thank you enough. So I think that's an awesome shout out. I'm glad. And we'll put that, this is a very important place to put this.
That's a good one, Todd.
Yeah.
Middle-aged moment. All right, you're going to love this because I told you that, and I haven't done it this episode since the beginning, but I'm going to do it again, that I told you I would mention the Deadpool and Wolverine movie as much as I possibly could. So here we go again. And because I had other songs picked out, but I wanted to do Madonna's Like a Prayer.
Oh, I was hoping it was NSYNC.
Okay, so that's the other funny part is that I could have done that, but I'm pretty sure I would have gotten kicked off at the show for that. You guys would have kicked me off. Todd would have kicked me off. The creepies would have voted me off. I don't know. But I think they're going to let me do Madonna's Like a Prayer. You got to go see the movie.
Yeah.
Or if you don't want to go see the movie, watch the clips because you can see the scene. But a lot of the trailers, you could see Like a Prayer on there. I'm like, oh, man, they're really – this is a song that, like, I wouldn't sit there and think, oh, that's a great song. But if it plays on the radio, I told this to Harrison on the way home. I was like, that's a great song, I have to admit. And it's got a great message. So that's why I want to bring it in here. But it also is to pay reference to the Deadpool Wolverine movie. But like I said, I'm also tying this into a great message. So life is a mystery. My God, this podcast would be called that, right? Life is a mystery. Everyone must stand alone. I hear you call my name, and it feels like home. When you call my name, it's like a little prayer. I'm down on my knees. I want to take you there. In the midnight hour, I can feel your power. Just like a prayer, you know, I'll take you there. And Nate is head bopping over there.
I hear it in my head.
Oh, you got to sing it. I hear your voice. It's like an angel sighing. I have no choice. I hear your voice. Feels like I'm flying. I close my eyes. Oh, God, I think I'm falling out of the sky. I close my eyes. heaven help me. When you call my name, it's like a little prayer. I'm down on my knees. I want to take you there. In the midnight hour, I can feel your power. Just like a prayer, you know, I'll take you there. Like a child, you whisper softly to me. You're in control, just like a child. Now I'm dancing. It's like a dream, no end and no beginning. You're here with me. It's like a dream. Let the choir sing. Go for it, Nate. When you call my name, it's like a little prayer. I'm down on my knees. I want to take you there. In the midnight hour, I can feel your power. Just like a prayer, you know, I'll take you there. When you call my name, like a little prayer, it goes on and on. So I love that part. Life is a mystery. Everyone must stand alone. I hear you call my name, and it feels like home. I love that. So, but it's, seriously, the parts in this are, okay, so in the movie, again, I'm not going to do any spoilers, but there is a part this when they do this song and they actually like play it, it's a fight sequence. I'll say that much. And Wolverine and Deadpool are involved. And what Wolverine does is something I've been waiting for. And I just, it's one of those yes moments. And I just, the little kid in me just started jumping up and down. And I think from that, I'm still smiling and laughing. So that this song has been sticking with me since we saw the movie in that scene. If you do go see it, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. So, but, I love this. I love the song, and, it really is funny because we're all in this together kind of thing. And it is like, I always tell people when they, you know, a lot of times people, when they're in the hospital or they need a little bit of encouragement, sometimes I'll just tell them, you know, bless you, God bless you, you know, I pray for you, all those kind of things. And I was telling them, like, that's the best. One lady asked us if the therapist and I that were in her room, she said, can you do me a favor? And most people want something to eat, something to drink, just some conversation. She's like, can you read me my devotional? And we were like, yeah, we can definitely do that. And it was one of those things, like her daughter came in shortly after. She's like, they read me my devotional. We're like, yeah, we were doing therapy and we were working with her, and that's kind of how we ended it. You know, we had some music playing during our session, and I told the other therapist, I'm like, that was a great session. It involved music. I mean, she requested something. We're like, absolutely, you know, and not everybody has time to sit there and do those kind of things, but I was honored to be able to do that. So those, you know, like the whole idea of like a prayer, you know, that is love and prayer and our faith and you know, we believe in God is some the things that bring us through. So and for us, it is this podcast, you know, coming back and it's our anchor, and it allows us, it's good medicine for us as well. So so I thought this was going to be, you know, for bringing things down earlier, I thought this was a good way to bring it back up.
I like it.
So, and I don't know if you guys realize this yet, but I loved Deadpool versus Wolverine.
It's not versus, it's Deadpool.
Oh, I said versus and Wolverine. I don't know. Yeah.
How much did you love it?
I don't know. I don't know if you know this, but I make things up in my head. I don't know if you know that about me. I loved it a lot. Yeah, whole lot.
It was fantastic.
It was great.
Go see it, right? Go get you some.
Yes.
I think it should win every award. It won't win any awards because it's a superhero movie, but
it should, though.
It's so good.
It wins all the awards of my heart. How about that? That's all it needs to win. all right. Well, Nate, I'll turn it back over to you then. You have the second part of the announcements, right?
Yes, these are the second announcements. Follow us on our social media accounts, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, X, Rumble. Email us at makopodcast@gmail.com. That's two A's in Mako. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. Give us a 5-star rating and leave us a review if the app allows. We sell all kinds of merch, so go get you some. And please check out our Friday Fright videos on all of our socials.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
We're having fun doing those. One of these days,
I'll probably never do one.
When you're let's keep hope alive. It's just like the beard stuff. You eventually ordered that, but the it's one of those things when you don't work 3 weeks in a row, I can have a little extra time. All right. Well, thank you for that. We really appreciate you reading the second part of the announcements, and I'll return it back over to you.
I have a question.
You do?
What does the USS Eldridge and a hula hoop with a thumbtack have in common?
Wow. I'm stumped.
You got me.
They're both naval destroyers. And that's a wrap.
Oh, that's good. Well done. How long did you think of that? Oh. Well, thank you for that, Nate. That was actually really fantastic. I thought it was going to be a hockey reference. I really did. I really, really did. We want to thank you, Creepies, for listening to episode 178 and our discussion on the Philadelphia experiment. So until next time, Nate is your tech engineer. We are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged.
And creeped out.
Keep it creepy.